Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Musings on 39 podcast with me, your host Tubbs, and I'm joined today again, once again, by my good old co-hosts Cameron and Keanu. What's up, boys?
Good evening, good evening.
Good evening,
no
good
complaints,
evening.
My side.
Same here.
Again, you guys are coming at us with the whole good evening.
Good evening.
But, boys, it's been a bloody interesting past few days of football. The quarterfinals have come and gone. I wouldn't say there were too many surprises. I think it was all very clean and proper. To anyone who's missed out on our past episodes, you can find them on whatever podcast streaming services you may use. But boys, what did you guys think about the quarters?
I'll start off by saying that I assume the favourites of the tournament, France, got knocked out in the round of 16, which was probably the biggest upset for me so far of the tournament. And then the second
probably
team,
also the most entertaining game.
Yes, it was fantastic to watch.
For the neutral
fan. I didn't expect the result in the end. I thought France were cruising at 3-1, because I think it was about 15 minutes ago, and then somehow the Swiss pulled it out of the bag.
You and had then, to remind me of that match, because I bet money on it. I saw Pogba's goal go in. I bet 3-1. It wasn't even that much of money, so I'm not that bothered. But I saw Pogba's goal fly into that top right corner, and I was like, oh my God, it's
probably
done.
Goal of the tournament.
Definitely, that's definitely Puskas eligible. Oh. But I saw that go in and I was just like, no, this game's over. But out of nowhere, the Swiss just pumped the French. It was incredible.
And then just to round it off, another team which I expected to do not great things, but a little bit more after the group stages was Netherlands. And they got dumped out by the Czech Republic. And that was a little bit of a shocker for me. As you said, the quarterfinals went arguably as most would predict. Now, it's a few interesting semifinals to look forward to. And other than that, it's been a good year, as I can't really complain. I've been entertained. And some smaller nations, or so-called smaller nations, have actually outperformed the big boys.
I think that's a fair assessment. I do also think that, especially during the group stage, I think Italy also showed their quality. They showed their experience, and I think they are a force to be reckoned with. And after seeing how they performed, I think they've slowly shown what they can do, even prior to the tournament. And I think that they should also be considered as tournament favourites. But I must admit, being an English supporter myself, I have been very impressed with how they have played. I wouldn't say that every game has been clear cut and whatnot, but well done to Gareth and the team to firstly beating Germany. I personally felt that on the day Germany were somewhat the better team. I think they dominated the game a lot more. The only difference is that England took their chances. And you also had Müller's miss, which I think, you know, may have changed the game. You know, then also beating Ukraine, it was no easy feat. And into the semifinals. And I think they should also be considered to be a force to be reckoned with. So all in all, great, great couple of games that we've had, and very, very entertaining.
While we're on England, I would like to just ask a couple of questions, because we've overanalyzed them often in our pre-Euro podcast, and also Tubbs has criticized there, and I'm sure we all have, Southgate's tactics and whatnot, and I don't think he's still the most pleasing person. I think it's quite negative, but he gets the job done. And also we mentioned Kane not scoring at all in the previous podcast, and Kane's just scored, I think he's on 3 goals now, if I'm not mistaken. He scored 3 goals in the last 2 games or something like that. Or it might even be 4, if I might be wrong. But
sitting on 3.
How three goals? How's that all happened? And has it just been he's been in better positions? Is it just that England have had more attacking threats? Or because obviously, as I said, we overanalyzed. We had a big dig at Harry Kane not doing it for the mighty England. So what do you guys tie that down to, and why has this happened?
I think it's coming home. It's coming home. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that beautiful rendition of "It's Coming Home," Tubbs. I personally feel it's confidence. I think time and time again we've seen with forward players that confidence is a very big part of the game. I mean, if we look at Sterling going into Euros, by no means was he a starter. Well, at least in my opinion, for England. I think any realistic fan who followed the English players, especially in this past Prem, would have put Sterling in their starting lineup, but clearly Gareth showed faith. And it just shows how getting a goal, then getting another one, getting an assist, you know, it kind of just increases their confidence. And the player that Sterling was before the tournament and the player that Sterling is now are two completely different players. And that's just one example. I think even if you look at Kane, I wouldn't say a scrappy goal against Germany, but he got it more on a platter. He got it in. And then look how he played against Ukraine. So I definitely think it is a confidence thing. I also think Sancho somewhat played a role, having Mount there, allowing Kane to push up a little bit. I definitely don't think he's reaching the peak. But then again, we have to be mindful that it was a long Premier League and Champions League and whatnot season for all these players. So once again, credit to all of them to be putting on a show.
You also can't forget the impact and how immense of a role Luke Shaw has played for England up until now. Also, yes, I had been criticizing England's defensive, how defensive they are, but results are results. I can't question that. And if they can continue doing that, I mean, up until now, they haven't conceded a single goal during the Euros. And that's an achievement. That's massive as well. But I think the icing on the cake will be to go to Wembley, beat Denmark, and on Sunday face the winner of Italy Spain and lift that trophy. I think that'll just put the icing on the cake. Everyone will sing that Southgate is the one. He still turns them on. And he's bringing it home again. But
I believe the lyrics of "Football is Coming Home Again" after that.
Yeah, you understand where I was going on with this.
We're not on the Idols, bro. You don't need to sing every England song on the
floor. It's okay, Tubbs. X Factor and those type of things.
I said that as a speech, gentlemen. But I just also maybe wanted to touch on one other team that was also, in a sense, quite similar to England in terms of being a favorite, and that's Belgium. I'm kind of disappointed with how they went out. It was kind of they left the tournament on a bit of a whimper, I feel.
I mean, it was probably the one game Lukaku didn't have his best game. Lukaku and that ended and De Bruyne, up,
yeah.
Yeah, and that ended up genuinely hindering them because with so many minutes to go, I don't know how many, but Lukaku could have scored and he didn't. And I think that at the end of the day just kind of summed up Belgium's performance. I mean, Chadli was probably one of their best players on the day and he was on the field for 5 minutes. And then he got injured after coming on. So I think that also showed you where Belgium were in the game.
So then is that not a... Is that also not a question to consider? I mean, I know people criticize Southgate, but I haven't been really hearing that much criticism about Roberto Martinez. So do you think he's going to still be there for World Cup, or do you think his time is up?
I mean, why wouldn't you keep him on? I mean, it's not like he's necessarily failed in any shape of the imagination. I mean, I think with the teams left in the tournament, I think Italy are the best team. Even if you look at the quarterfinals, I think Italy were the best team in the tournament. So it would be very harsh to sack him. Also looking at their squad, I mean, you can only really make do with what you have. I mean, I think Doku, if that's the correct
That is name, Doku, yeah.
He was phenomenal, probably their best player on the field. I just don't think that there was enough cohesion. I think at the end of the day, I think playing three at the back kind of hindered them because they sacrificed a player up front or in that midfield for a centre back. And because they had such a deep line, Verratti had all that space to move in and around in the midfield. And De Bruyne and co. just didn't have an answer. So at the end of the day, maybe it was just more of a tactical masterclass from Italy rather than a slip up by Belgium. I still think it was a very entertaining game and Belgium probably should have sent it through to extra time. But, you know, you have to give credit to the Italians who do defend really, really well.
You know, you mentioned Doku. I do remember watching the game Belgium-Italy with Keanu, and he was just telling me how he kept his eye on Doku, and he was just thinking, wow, who's this guy Tubbs? Go check who he is. And Keanu was just telling me how holy shit.
I mean, I'd definitely snap him up though. I think he has pace. I think he has some decent accuracy. He took some nice shots from range, and I mean, you know, he was, you know, really, really, he showed a lot of promise. He showed a lot of, you know.
And exactly that. Keanu was telling me how he'd love to have someone like Doku at Liverpool, but now I'm hearing you guys are getting in talks to get Renato Sanchez. What are your thoughts, Keanu?
On the Doku situation, I was impressed with him. He really seemed very decent on the evening. And then also, just quickly back at the Italian situation, the Belgium-Italy game was very entertaining. As Cameron said, I do think Italy are favourites, especially with their like well-drilled system, as we mentioned previously on the pod. But I do think, unfortunately, Belgium had a tougher side of the draw because they had to face Portugal, which is by no means easy, and they went through that obstacle, and then they played arguably the most difficult team to face at the Euros. And then on Renato Sanchez being linked to Liverpool, I'm a bit in two minds. I've seen the best and worst of him. So I think he was brilliant for Portugal at the Euros. He was brilliant for Portugal at, I think it was the previous Euros or at the World Cup. I think it might have been the Euros. He was very, very good. Got a big move, failed. And then he's kind of rejuvenated his career. So is it worth the gamble? Possibly. But I think that there are other areas which we have to focus on.
We've seen Sanchez in the Premier League before. That was his time at Swansea, and that was nothing to write home about.
No, it was quite poor, to be fair. Very poor. But, yeah.
But to be fair, hear me out. Why wouldn't you want him, though? Because he'd arguably be replacing Wijnaldum, and it's not like Wijnaldum was in the spotlight. We just kind of need a player who's going to almost be like a Conte, who runs around, does all, I don't want to say the hard work, but like does the hard work. He's very fit, he's young, he has a mean pass on him. So why wouldn't you want him though? Because yes, you know, he's not going to be, I wouldn't say he's going to be this huge kind of, you know, signing, and you're going to see this whole change and shirts are going to sell out and whatnot. But I think if he could come in and he can, you know,
would be a squad player, be on the bench, come in and out, swap with Fabinho.
Yeah.
Peter, I just think Thiago, that if you're being logical, and we spoke about it now before we came on the pod quickly, it's just that I don't think Liverpool need to spend money there, just because I would think that if you have Naby Keita, you have Curtis Jones, you've got Thiago, you've got Fabinho, you've got Henderson, you've got James Milner, I don't know if I mentioned him. Those players for those three positions, you nearly got two players for the three positions, like each. So, yes, bring him in. Gini Wijnaldum never got injured, played all the games, did his job. Cool, bring him in. Fine, no problem. But I don't think someone's going to get the short end of the stick if everyone's going to be fit the whole time. Because either Milner won't see the field, which I think he will. So you're telling me that Curtis Jones will just be kicked out, or maybe a Nabi Keita will not see a game because there's not enough like time to play all of them. So that's if everyone keeps fit, just to mention.
Well, perhaps FSG is just biding their time till next season when the 75 million release clause in Erling Haaland's contract will be available. And I'm telling, and I can, this is just speculation, but holy shit, I think we're going to be in for a wild ride next year when you'll see just many clubs just bidding for Haaland.
Even now, after Euros, I still think there's going to be quite a lot of transfer movement.
We've seen it with PSG, with picking up Donnarumma from AC Milan, Hakimi from Inter Milan, now Sergio Ramos, who's supposedly going for his medical soon, and now, like, for example, United finally completing the Jadon Sancho deal. There's talk of Varane and also now Eduardo Camavinga from Rennes.
I think the next couple of weeks are just going to be really interesting, considering that there's not going to be a lot of football. I mean, we even have Copa America. I think the final's going to be this weekend. I think the semi-final is Colombia, Argentina, and Brazil, Peru. So probably going to be a final between Argentina and Brazil. Hopefully Messi finally wins an international tournament with Argentina.
I don't think I can watch him cry again. Last time they were in the final against Chile.
Because even Brazil slipped up with like.
I mean, Messi has the most goals.
Yeah.
Messi has the most goals and the most assists in the tournament. 4 goals, yeah. 4 assists. While Neymar's behind with 2 goals.
Who do you think wins?
I mean, when I look at that Brazil team, they look very formidable. I'm kind of disappointed that I'm not seeing much of Coutinho.
Isn't Why would injured? You though? He's hardly played.
I could swear he's injured.
Doesn't say he's injured here.
I think that's just an excuse from Barca.
It's actually kicking off nearly, by the way. Just on that note, Brazil, Peru.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I do think it's going to be odd. I do think...
Just to butt in quickly, I just see here Coutinho is not even in the team, so I'm assuming he's injured. I'm assuming he's injured because he's not even under missing players.
But what's your call though? I mean, who do you think?
I've got some links with the Brazilian team, obviously, who play for my club. So, would I like Argentina to win? Yeah, but do I think they're going to win? No, I think Brazil will win. Yeah, Brazil to win.
Lastly with you, Cam.
Oh, Argentina. I mean, I also have a lot of Liverpool players playing for Brazil. But it would be nice, you know, if Argentina could just, for once, just get the job done.
Yeah, then people can't anymore say that Ronaldo won the Euros, but...
I don't even think because of that, bro. It's the same like in Champions League when Madrid just won all the time. It would be nice if, like, you know, somebody else wins and, you know, make it a little bit special.
I agree with you on that sentiment.
But now, definitely. Gentlemen, interesting question, right? So, we've had this roller coaster of a Euro tournament. Do you guys see any upsets in the semifinals? Like, I mean, if you think about it, Denmark, 2 games into Euros, were at the bottom of their group, no points. By hook or by crook, they managed to go through. Second in their group, not even third.
I think they were third, isn't it?
Or at least I think they went through in second in the group. Or third. They Sorry, third. They went through on third. The third team, point system. And now they're in the semifinals. Do you think it's all emotional based, or do you think they genuinely have a claim to try and beat England on Wednesday evening?
Like I mentioned, well, my point of view is like, as I mentioned in the previous episode of the podcast, is they've really been driven by trying to dedicate their run in the Euros to Christian Eriksen after his, that tragic accident. But I think my call for the final of the Euros will be England will play Italy. My reason behind it is England have not conceded a single goal during the tournament. They have a very well structured defense, and going forward they're also quite threatening. Meanwhile, Italy on the other side of the draw, I do think that they've been, even in matches where they were not looking at their best, they shined. They performed very well. I think there were a lot of people who thought Belgium would go through, but Italy just came sprinting out the gates, got those two goals, and they were able to just hold the line. So that's why I say England-Italy is going to be the final, and I do think it's going to go to England, and I think it's coming home to us.
To be honest, right, Spain, Italy, Italy is the better team, and they've been the better team in this tournament. But you cannot tell me personally, and I think any sane person would say this, that if Spain were to beat Italy, I wouldn't call it an upset really, because you mentioned earlier before the pod that you thought Spain were lucky, and to a point I agree with you, but to a certain degree I think they're there for a reason, and other big dogs have not made it, and somehow they've managed to push through. I think Italy might win. I think they are they were, Taubes called them a dark horse, but they were entertaining as well. The Austria game with the only exception from the matches I've watched.
I just think they just have a lot of quality.
I won't say they have, like, if I'm honest now with you guys, this is my opinion. If I look player for player, I think the Spanish individuals will probably outshine them, but the Italians have a better team, and they're well drilled. They're very well.
I'll agree to disagree with you on that, because I think Luis Enrique could put up a better team than what he has been putting up.
You can pick and choose, isn't it?
Well, there we go. If you look at the starting 11, I personally think that Italy have a much better player for player.
I do not know about that. I want to disagree on that.
Than what Spain would have. Okay, let's go through the keepers. Would you rather have Simon or Donnarumma?
I agree with that.
I'll take Donnarumma all day.
Now, let's look further up the field. Would you rather have Immobile or would you have Morata?
I'll have Immobile.
Exactly. Now, if you look in the middle of the park, would you rather have Verratti or would you rather have Busquets?
No decision. They're both Verratti.
Hold on. I'll take Busquets.
Verratti made like 84 passes.
No, that's
with
fine.
A 90-something percent completion rate. Busquets is a walking, talking dinosaur. Okay. Would you rather have Bonucci and Cellini, or would you rather have Pau Torres and Laporte?
Pau Torres is also very decent.
Yeah, Laporte played very well. Definitely, they're very well organized. They know each other. They can read each other quite well. You can't say that it's not the same for Bonucci and his partner as well. But I do think I'd rather take Pau Torres.
Laporte. It doesn't matter what I think. I just said it won't be an upset if Spain win, because I think they got a good enough team to cause Italy further problems. I think Spain even got a better team than Belgium. And that's going far. That's going very far.
Yeah, it's just a tighter game. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be as tight as a game as
England game. I disagree a little bit with Tubbs on the whole emotional thing, because in the previous two encounters England played Denmark in the UEFA Nations League, it was 0-0, and then England lost, I'm going to assume it was at Wembley to Denmark, 1-0. So they haven't got a really good run against.
Okay, and what about
that's? But they lost the last time they played at Wembley against Denmark. But however, I do think Denmark actually played.
But they've just beaten Germany and then they thumped Ukraine.
Emphasis. No. Look, I'm just throwing it out there that the last two times England did play Denmark, they drew and lost. But I said it previously. Southgate doesn't play the most eye-catching system. But he plays a system and he's done well. I do believe that it's coming home. So I think it's going to be very difficult. I've watched Denmark's games against Czech. I've watched the game against Russia, Wales. They're really a decent team. I wouldn't.
So the last time they played was last autumn.
It still counts or something. Head to heads or something.
The last five matches have been an international friendly 4-1 to Denmark. International friendly 2-1 to England. International friendly 1-0 to England. UEFA Nations League 0-0. And then
UEFA Nations England League in their home. To Denmark. Just to mention, then also Slabhead did get a red card in that game. So probably need to take that into account as well.
I don't know. I personally just hope that it's a good game. I hope that England don't play how they have been playing, where they kind of sit back. I hope they play more how they played in the second half against Ukraine. And I think the beauty about football is that we can sit here and we can, you know, we predicted France to beat Switzerland, and then Switzerland shocked the world. Switzerland nearly even, you know, sent Spain crashing out. Terrible, terrible luck, and I think lack of experience. When it comes to taking pens, in my personal opinion. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, anything can happen on the day. Anything can happen. Denmark have beaten some of the best teams at this tournament, and they're playing with a lot of pride. So I think what's exciting for us as football fans, if we just look at ourselves and if we want to be a little bit selfish for a brief moment of time, I think it's just fantastic to think that we've been gifted after such a tight, you know, Serie A, such a tight Ligue 1, such a tight La Liga, such a tight race for top four in the Prem, to then look after that and to be gifted with such a intricate and unpredictable Euros. And I think, as a football fan, I think it's just really exciting to know that it doesn't really matter what happens in the semi-finals. It's either going to be huge upsets, or it's probably going to be what most people expect. But at the same time, there's just going to be some amazing football played. And we get to see another final come Saturday, regardless of who's in that final. And I think that's just great for football.
I want to just pose this question to you guys. Do you think we're going to have another penalty shootout? Or do you think...
John wanted to ask the same thing, bro.
To be very fair to that question, I think, with all due respect, I think a penalty shootout is more likely in the Italy-Spain game than it is in the England-Denmark game.
I agree with that fully. And just on Cameron's saying that the tournament is so juicy, for the lack of words, it's also great to just have the tournament actually happen.
Even still calling it Euro 2020.
And also just having some fans in the stadium is...
Yes, and also let's not forget from the 19th of July, the UK is opening up stadiums. 100% capacity. So
not necessary anymore.
The end is near.
Enjoy watching a perfect world. How lovely is that?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the final going to be 100%?
No, it's not going to be 100%.
Okay, yeah, but 75% inside Wembley is huge, bro. That fills most, if not all, Premier League stadiums.
I think it's 60,000. I'm not too sure. I remember reading an article about it. But, yeah, it's... Yeah. But in any case, I do think we're going to have a great run till the end of it, till the end of the tournament. Also, Copa America is running concurrently, so I think that will end quite... It could even end in an upset, and then we have Peru being crowned the champions of South America. And then immediately after that, we have the Olympics, Olympic football, and just in general the Olympics. So I think... I'm excited. Truly, I'm excited.
I think with all due respect, the one thing that COVID has brought around is that it's given us all of this in one go. And to think about it, because of COVID, next year's the World Cup. So in 12 months' time...
Isn't it in December, though?
Yes, yes.
I think they want it to be...
It could be good. Yeah, it's good. Because guitars
anyway, but the point shambles. Is that... You know, that's also going to be very interesting, especially for the quality of football in the upcoming domestic leagues, because it doesn't matter what league you play for, you're going to want to try and go to a World Cup. You know, as much as going to Euros is quite important, I think the World Cup holds a slightly higher prestigious. I think we're just blessed to be have what we have at the moment. But I think let's just first get on to tomorrow. Let's see what happens with Italy and Spain. And then go on to Wednesday and see what happens between England and Denmark. And come Saturday, may the best team win.
Come Saturday, it's coming
Look,
home.
If it comes home, I don't think football fans across the world, or fans in general, or people in general, are ready for the celebrations. I don't think one could have written it better. But let's see what happens.
Hey, as long as the England fans stay off Twitter, especially after that victory against Germany, I think, by the way, we'll be okay.
If England win, I think Phil Foden was saying when he got that Gascoigne haircut, that if England win, everyone in the squad said that they're going to get the same haircut. So that will also probably bring around some good humour. But yes, Keanu, you want to say something?
Yeah, I really wanted to, I know Tabs also wanted to say something, but I've just read something recently that I thought I would ask you guys and hear your opinion here. I'm going to quickly quote it. It says, if you are an elite country, which England supposedly are, you can't have them playing 6 out of the 7 games in front of their own fans. We've just seen Belgium go out after traveling all over. We've seen other countries suffer the same. There has to be an element of fairness to this. Not playing 6 out of the 7 games if you get to the final at Wembley when you're not hosting a tournament it's not on. I just thought, let me hear your guys' thoughts on.
I think it's very difficult. Just purely because of COVID. I think the English government has been quite open to having teams come in and out of the country. I think that was a big task for you know, everyone. But I also think, looking at that, you know, I also think it's very difficult because, yes, UEFA could have organized a schedule whereby England also had to travel. But if you could prevent a team from also not getting infected, then I think that's the best. I think people also forget that Italy played all their group games and round of 16 at home. They only played this one away. I think they played it in the Allianz Arena in Germany. And then they're now at Wembley for the semi-finals and potentially the finals. So, yes, I mean, also, I mean, Denmark played in Copenhagen for all their group games. So, I mean, yes, but no.
I do understand, like, they try to minimize the traveling and stuff, but obviously Wembley's taken the forefront.
But that's not necessarily the English team's fault. I mean, where was Euro meant to be held? In Portugal and Spain, was it not?
No, I think it was a split. Tabs mentioned it in a previous pod. It was
in our first episode, we did discover that it was supposed, this the format they have now was the original plan. So people can't criticize England for playing the next, the semi-final on home soil or the final on home soil if they make it there, of course.
Yeah, but the group matches were obviously altered.
But yeah, but again, it just falls back to how this is responsibility of UEFA. Let's not look at the formalities. Let's enjoy. I mean, there are tons of tournaments where, like with the Brazil World Cup or Russia World Cup, you could always say, "Oh, Russia should have won it easy because they're on home soil." It's never look, always the case.
As much as I do think fans have played a bit of a part of it, I mean, let's be real here. Under no circumstances are football players in the modern day foreign to traveling. You know, I mean, when it's Champions League season, I mean, you're playing your domestic games on the weekend. Sometimes you're going from, let's say, Brighton all the way up to Newcastle. That isn't just a hop, skip, and a jump. That's a whole day's trip. At the end of the day, you're a professional footballer. If you're going to really complain about where you're playing, I do understand that there is a certain aspect to it, but I think just get on and play the game.
Yeah, again, it's responsibility of FIFA, but again, I think from there, I think at this point, I think we, this is a good place to end it.
You think, or you are?
We've discussed, Keanu, just quickly back me up here.
You know, like when you're watching a TV show or a movie and you're expecting this ending to come and then the screen just goes blank and you're just like, and then the credits start rolling and you're just like, back. Is that the end? Like, that I just...
You know what? Let's make him happy. Let's add a little one more spice in for him that after credits rolled and now we're back.
Oh, baby.
We don't have the budget. How are you feeling about that Sancho signing?
Yes, last thing. Mr. Tubbs. Sancho, good or not?
No, I want to hear it because man's been sucking his toes
let the man
for
speak.
Sancho for Tubbs, years.
Your 2 minutes.
So I read. I want to indulge in your explanation. Yes.
I'm happy with it. I'm finally happy that it's done and dusted. I think there could have been more appreciation of the deal, but I think because of how long it's taken, last season's transfer window, this season's transfer window, I think a lot of people are just more relieved that, you know, we don't have to constantly see anymore. You know, is it going to happen? Is this deal going to happen? Yes or no? Blah blah blah. I think it's just more relief at this point. I'm very excited to see what he'll be able to bring to the United squad, linking up with Cavani, Martial, Greenwood, and Rashford, and you know, Fernandes, Pogba, all the names there. But it's just, I think right now I'm tired. I'm hoping that, you know, with the exit of Edward Woodward, that's... I think with the end of his era at United, I think I'm hopeful that we'll be done with the whole long stretch transfers. I think I'd rather have it where, like with Liverpool or Leicester, when they're linked, it'll take maybe a maximum of a week, not a whole window. So yeah, that's my...
Tell me two things, right? My last two questions after the credits.
Are we Marvel?
On a personal level, for Sancho, do you think it was a good move for him? And secondly, do you think he's going to fit the United team?
I think he will fit the team. He has a lot of other talented players around him. He has Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who will have to, you know, learn to adjust to the way Sancho does play. Sancho can play on the right-hand side. He can play on the left, where he can also link up with Luke Shaw. And also there's talk that he can also perhaps play as a 10. There was a lot of talk that it was something that he wanted to do. He wanted to move back to England. And yeah, he started his career out in the Manchester City youth team. So now he's moving to the red half of Manchester. He's good friends with Marcus Rashford, as you can see on their respective social media. So I think all in all, very positive. Definitely, we were missing a out-and-out right winger.
I like Jadon. I think from what I've watched him, I've seen of him, he's impressed me. I tend to wonder if he was just keen to get back to England. But I, on a personal level, hope he does well. It's not always nice that he goes to your rivals, because I don't hope he does well at United. Well, I hope United don't do well, but I hope he does well.
Look, I think, well done to Sancho. I think he would have also fitted in really well at a team like Liverpool. I think it was just a good buy for United. I think it's going to add a lot of quality. I think it is going to ruffle some other players' feathers for the likes of like Martial and whatnot, because, or even Dan James. But looking at Sancho as a whole, I think great signing. I wish him all the best of luck, but I'll never wish United luck, and that's pretty much where I draw the line.
All right, boys. I think those answers are satisfactory for Keanu, are they?
Yeah, now you can roll the credits again.
Okay, thank you, boss. Yeah, but again, thank you once again, lads. Thank you to all our listeners out there. We really appreciate all of your support. And if there are any episodes that you have missed out on, you can find them on your podcast streaming service of choice. And yeah, once again, we'd like to wish you guys a good day or a good night.
Okay, peace out.
Cheerio. Football is coming home.